What's up? What's happening? Welcome back to another episode of the Ryan and Case No Chase with a Shirley Temp Twist podcast. I am, as always, your host with the most, the steaming vegan, Casey Kello, repping Williamsburg, Virginia. And with me, as always, is the young, gifted in black, beautiful Tempest Williams. Give it up.
What up?
Yeah, I thought that was me.
It was not. And as you guys need no introduction, the lifeblood of the show, the heart and soul of Ryan Case No Chase with a Charlatan Twist.
The lifeblood.
Give it up for Ryan motherfucking Lee, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go. Okay. Nobody gives a shit. So check it out. It's been about a year and a half, man. We a lot going on. I tried. It's all my motherfucking fault.
Accountability.
Accountability. It's all my fault. You know, I was trying to get the show get better, but you know, sometimes keeping it simple is the best formula, as a friend of mine, Tempest, once told me. Keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Let's just keep it pushing. So, a lot of shit been going on. COVID, new president. Ryan had a baby. A whole baby. He's almost one now. I got a promotion at my job.
I had a baby a year ago.
Yeah, he had a baby a year ago. That's how long ago it was. Yeah. A lot of shit was going on. So quarantine, life has changed since the last time we did a show. So what's been going on with you, Tempest? What's been going on with you for the last year and a half? Let me be specific.
Been chilling, man. Been chilling. Just, you know, quarantining and, you know, that's it. Locked in the house.
Ain't doing shit, basically, y'all. So, what about you, Ryan? What's been up with you for the last year and a half?
Oh, man. I was waiting on you to get to me. Because, listen. So, had a baby, right?
Right.
About to be one. He crawling around, terrorizing. Bought a house.
Oh, shit.
Well, did that. And, you know, then COVID hit.
I bought a house too, huh?
Yeah, you know what, Temp? You bought a house too in that year and a half. You bought a house too across the street. Yep, you bought your house, and then I bought mine right across the street. Quarantine hit, COVID. Been in here wearing masks and stuff. You know what? Is it just me, or like every time you pull up to a store or anywhere you about to go to, do you feel like you about to rob them? Because you stop, sit in the car for a minute, put your mask on, and then get out and walk in there.
I think it's so weird when people stare at you because you ain't got a mask on.
Yeah.
Why am I looking at you? Like, oh, shit, I ain't got a mask on.
It's because you don't have a mask on. But, you know, a year and a half ago, you walk in with a mask on, they going to stare at you like, oh, shit, you about to do something.
Yeah. Funniest shit to me is when I see a motherfucker with no mask, I want to punch him in the face. I ain't going to lie. I'm one of them people that look at you weird when you don't have a mask.
Like, that's really, really aggressive.
You know what's even weirder is when you're in the car by yourself and they got a mask on?
Yeah, like, who are you quarantining from? Like, who are you trying to protect yourself from?
Who are you social distancing from? Them?
Right.
Like, you in there alone. You could take it off.
Mm-hmm. What's been up with you, Casey?
Oh, yeah. I haven't bought a house. I'm in the same crib. Yeah.
Okay.
I got, like I said earlier, I got a big promotion at my job, so maybe a house.
Okay, making more money though. You making more money?
A lot more. And you know what I realized after that shit, when you get a little bit more money, you do act funny. There's no way around it. I talk to niggas crazy now. Yeah,
you do.
I don't repeat myself a lot when I make more money.
He gonna snitch on y'all for less. Remember that.
Right.
Hey, I snitched on you for free. But now that the white man and bless me, boy, I am single-handedly raising black unemployment every day.
Shouts out to you.
Shouts out to me. Also, man, I wanted to talk about a little bit. Let's just touch on a little bit some of the news that was going on for the year to have some of the kind of recent stuff. So what do y'all think, just real quick, what you think about Tory Lanez shooting Meg Thee Stallion?
You think he did it?
Nah, I don't think he did it.
Yeah, me neither.
Ryan, what do you think?
I think it was genius.
To shoot, shooting people? Nights? Shooting people is genius?
In the pinky toe. You remember Harlem Nights?
I remember it, yep.
Bruh, genius. Like, have you seen the size of Tory Lanez?
Versus the size of her?
Like, why wouldn't he shoot her? What are you supposed to do? How are you going to protect himself?
The most craziest thing is he made a whole album about
it. Oh, man. Y'all motherfuckers are stupid.
Either he didn't do it, or he really loved her.
I think he did it.
This nigga Ryan said,
and I enjoy it every minute.
Ryan said, why wouldn't he?
I mean, look, what they say, I'm calling a stallion for nothing. Shit.
Right. Look at the size of her, bro. I'm just saying. You got to defend yourself somehow.
Keep the good fight.
So that leads me into
he bit Rihanna.
This is another part that makes me lead into what my point is about the whole shit about also while we was gone. Excuse me. A whole like protect black women hashtag started. I literally went to every black woman I know and said, when you around me, do you feel protected? And they was like, yeah, Casey, but we ain't talking about you. I got news for you. If you could say you around me, you can't say you ain't protected. So that means that you can't say that black men don't protect black women, even if you have one example. You know what I'm saying? So y'all need to kill that shit. Timbers, you think black women are protected?
Yeah, but like I think the biggest thing is that black women need to protect black women before we can worry about somebody from the outside trying to protect black women. Mm. We don't protect each other. Mm.
That's a ball.
But we looking for somebody else to come behind and save us.
Casey, look at the size of you, and then look at Tory Lanez.
What the fuck do I got to do? We Casey, look how big your ass is.
I can bet money. Don't nobody feel protected with Tory Lanez.
Hey, yo, you know what's funny? If I got into a fight with Tory Lanez and I got shot, niggas would be like, pretty much standard. Yeah, I can saw that coming. Yep.
That's what I expected. Yeah, that's how I expected that fight to go.
Hey, look,
good idea.
That's why I had to get out of the fighting game because, you know, I got a call with too many guns pulled on me and it was like, would nobody would have been like, why he had to shoot him? Everybody would have understood. So I said, either I'm going to shoot him back or I got to stop fighting.
Facts.
Mm. I'm glad you stopped fighting, man.
Yeah, I am too. So, guys, everybody here, we got a new segment for y'all. We got a new segment for y'all, Q&A. You know what I'm saying? What we have.
Casey.
Yeah.
You know what has happened in this year and a half?
What's up?
We went to Canada.
Oh, I didn't think you wanted to talk about that. That was crazy.
Yeah. I thought about it when you said something about fighting.
Whoa, whoa. Ryan.
It was weird.
They still looking for us out there.
Why in all the pictures y'all titties was out?
I was about to get on the boat.
So everybody had to have their titties out?
Hey man, I just set that trend. I came out, my shirt open. Everybody else come out, they was half butt naked. It didn't look like some crazy shit was going on, but wasn't nobody doing nothing funny.
Well, actually, Ryan, before the boat, I was the first with my titties out at the pool. And those was real nigga titties. Those weren't military push-up titties. I had real hood fat nigga titties out at the pool.
You did. And then after the pool, after the boat, you thought about, anyways.
Yeah. I don't want to, Ryan, don't get no charges pending. I get a call from
next
the feds.
I think it's a good idea to lock you guys' titties up, put your titties away, wear a bra, a t-shirt, or whatever.
A bra or a t-shirt. Wow, Tempest. Wow, that's how you feel. That is how Tempest feels. Put the titties away, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, moving along. So
put them away.
Today's show, for the new time, we added a new segment. We want to appreciate everybody who supported us. A year and a half is a long motherfucking time, yo. And we had people asking me about the show consistently, Ryan about the show consistently, asking Timbers about the show. We'd be getting DMs, people asking, when's the show coming back? When's the show coming back? We back, you know what I'm saying? So because
I told them never. I told them the shit won't come back, yo.
Yeah, some people have lost belief. But you know what? We're going to keep it pushing.
Some people have lost
belief. So we have
But I'm happy we back, man.
So we're going to add a new segment in, basically where we ask, you guys are going to be able to ask us any questions, because other than fucking around and talking shit, we also are relationship experts. All of us are married. We pretty good at articulating, you know, and we're good at sharing our perspective on things and why we make our marriages work. We also all are parents, you know. Nobody's a perfect parent. There's no perfect blueprint on it, but we have very three distinct styles of marriage. Tempest is different than Ryan. Ryan is different than Casey as far as how we do our marriages, how we are with our children. You know what I'm saying? So we all have unique perspectives. So we take in questions from our listeners. We're going to get into that later on. And if you guys got questions, go to our Instagram page, Ryan. For next week's show and so on and so forth. We'll start taking questions. But for today, the topic is gold diggers and broke niggas. Gold diggers, by definition, guys, is like a girl who's just all about that bread, like whatever. Like, it's not about love, it's about that money. And, you know, broke niggas are pretty self-explanatory, nigga. You don't get it. And we all been broke. We all been broke for a time or two. You know, everybody been, you know, fell on financial hard times. But at the same time, being a broke nigga is more like a lifestyle. It's more like a lifestyle or a lifestyle choice more than just, you know, hey, you know, a nigga don't got no money right now. Because, you know, after them bills come through, a lot of the motherfucking time, you end up broke. So, first and foremost, I wanted to ask, we'll start with you, Ryan. I'll ask you, what is the line right now that you would look at a girl and say she's a gold digger? And what is the thin line in the sand between being a gold digger and just a bitch being about damn near a prostitute? Like, when the hell does it go from the transition of just being like, I'm a girl who likes men with money, and then it's like, I fuck men for money? Like, how do you decide the difference?
The corner, I mean.
The corner. If you stand on the corner, you are a prostitute. No, it's like, it's kind of like what you just said, though, for real. Like, if you're just fucking him, you know, they got a name for that, too. They usually like a sugar daddy or something. If you just giving this man some pussy so you can get your bills paid or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Then that's what that is. That's what it is. But with, like, gold digging, I think it's kind of like, it's one of those things where you gotta look at what she wants. Like, what is she actually there for? Like, you can kind of tell, most people can tell from the outside looking in than the man that's, you know, being preyed upon. Usually people looking in can see it before he can see it, because it's like, damn, you know, like, he's spending all this bread. And especially if it's early on, like, okay, he just took her to goddamn Cancun. Okay, he just paid her light bill. Okay, he just paid, you know, for her kid to get braces or some shit. But they just met 2 months ago. Like, that's a lot of fucking money for 2 months of dating. Absolutely. You know what I mean? It sometimes it's like how quick shit starts progressing and money getting spent. And then you start looking at, you remember, I think we had a show about it, or we talked about it before, where you look at just people that are out of your league. Like, you can look at somebody, you look at a female like, oh, she's pretty. And then you look at a cornball looking dude, like, how did he get her? And the first thing most of us think, he must got money.
Hell yeah. That's a fact. Timbers, what you think about it? Like what to you determines the difference between gold digger, other than the corner, of course, and pimping? What do you look at a difference between, like, a corn? I mean, I was about to say a cornball. What do you look at a difference between a gold digger and, like, straight up prostitution? Like, what do you see as, like,
so the difference between the two?
Go ahead.
Do you think B. Simone is a gold digger?
Who is B. Simone?
So she was the chick who said she can't be with a dude at working 9 to 5.
Whoa!
What's the name?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, Tim.
Yeah, she is.
I don't. We'll see. Here's the thing.
She get on my fucking nerves. Yeah.
But here's the thing.
You remember her,
Casey. I do. I know the interview. I just didn't know the girl's name. But here's my thing about that. Surprisingly, after putting thought into it, I don't think that females should fuck with a dude that don't that they can't provide to them for certain aspects. Now, for her to say a 9 to 5, I think that's corny because it's like, yo, it don't matter how much a man makes, but some girls, like, some niggas make enough, just enough to pay your bills, and you got to be kind of equally yoked. So, to be honest with y'all, I kind of understand what she was saying. It's like, if you a girl who makes six figure and you're used to six figure things, and I make 30,000, I basically can't afford to, you know, go half with you on anything. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, we can't afford to do the things. Like Tempest, right now, I'll give you a prime example, Tempest. Right now, you guys are all good, successful financially wise. So a dude working at McDonald's, Tempest, can't afford to take you to maybe your favorite restaurant that your husband can. Ryan, same with you. Like, a girl that is working that fucking, or that braids hair on the wheel. Braid hair girls make a lot of money, no disrespect to the hair industry. But I'm saying, like, let's just say a girl has, like, a regular part-time job. She can't afford for your birthday to take you to Ruth Chris like your husband, like your wife does, right? You see what I'm saying? So it's like...
She can't afford me.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, I could understand a person being like, I can't fuck with a dude because she's probably at least a couple hundred thousand there. So it's like, if she get a dude that work at a fucking Kinko's, or she get a dude that work at fucking Walmart, he can't afford, like, kind of like her lifestyle. So I could kind of understand what she's saying, even though that's not what love is all about. I could understand what she's saying.
Right. So I think a lot of this too is that if you go into a relationship, you looking for what the other person automatically brings to the mm-hmm. table, then you have gold digger tendencies. Because if you're looking for, if that person has everything that, you know, everything else, but they may not make enough money. And it could be whatever the circumstances are. They could have a new career. It could be so many other different things. But if they meet every other standard that you have and they're trying it, like, oh no, I got this dream, or I'm going to do this. And, you know, it is room for growth. And y'all supposed to grow together as a relationship. Mm-hmm. How is that a problem?
But you got to be real. If it depends on what you look at. Now, see, I can understand it. That don't mean I agree with it. Like, I understand, like, okay, right now, if my wife was to get a dude that made less money or didn't have a job, there's value in that. So it's like, you have to be somewhere to, like Tempest, could you bang with a dude? Like, let's say you were single. And speak for all the ladies out there, Temp, that you know, like, hold them down. You could really fuck with a dude that was broke, but he just loved you properly?
Because, you know, you got to realize this too. Sometimes in a relationship, you're not looking for somebody to provide for you, because you may be the provider.
But the question is not...
So you may not be looking for somebody to provide for you, looking for somebody who's going to spend time with you. You looking for somebody who do the fun things that you want to do. And, you know, it may never even come up that the motherfucker is broke, because he figured out a way to say, oh, I'm going to still be romantic. We may not do this. We may not do that, but I'm going to make it happen.
Got you. I get what you're saying, Tim. But my point is, could you personally, Tempest Williams, mess with a dude that was broke if you loved him?
Yeah, depends on what, like, because I'm, like, if we going into to be life partners, then I'm here to uplift you. I'm here to speak life into you. I'm here to help you grow. And the same for me. You know, you should be doing the same thing, speaking life into me and getting growth out of me. So, and if we coming up together and we growing together, then, you know, he won't be broke for long.
Yeah. I agree with you, man. I'm literally.
Me, on the other hand, look. If I meet you at the bar and we chopping it up and we vibe very well, but work never comes up, and we go out on another date and we really vibing and kicking and having a good time, and one day I go to Chick-fil-A and I see you at the window, that's going to throw me off.
Well, what did she like? Like, she wink at you, she like, I threw some extra fries in the bag.
Hey,
I'm appreciate it. I'm going to appreciate
it. And then she like, so since you know... And then she like, I got your order ready and shit like that.
Yeah, but I can't eat Chick-fil-A every day.
Still, I got some coupons for you. I'm
gonna tell you what.
Yep, now my friend's gonna.
I'm gonna tell you what. Goddamn it! I'm gonna tell you what.
Yeah.
bring me home Chick-fil-A, even though I'm vegan. Bring me back when I wasn't. Bring me home Chick-fil-A. That's a fair exchange.
So you good,
bro? Bring something. Like, I don't give a shit about the money. If I like,
no, no, but like in your thirties, Casey, in your thirties,
you know, in my thirties right now, I can say that.
Yeah, you ain't lying because they train them.
I've never once.
So in your thirties, you
in my thirties, I'm good with that. If I'm financially stable, like if I'm good with her bringing Chick-fil-A home and paying maybe two bills. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And see, but too, the older we get, too, we got to realize that people have different. They go through different things in life. So, divorce, you know, losing your job, those things happen. And somebody who was actually up before.
Absolutely, but see, that's what I'm talking about when we talk about broke niggas. Like broke nigga energy, it's a different type of energy. You see what I'm saying? So it's like a lot of women, the things that they require, you're not gonna get from a financially fucking stable dude. Because 9 times out of 10, any dude that's put his 100% into his career, those are the guys that's gonna progress. You have to put 100% in. You feel what I'm saying? So. Nigga, at the least, you're going to be working 40 hours a week, at the least. And that's at the very least. So it's like, and then you got to sleep for you.
You don't know how to act. Boy, you got that promotion, don't know how to act.
He like, look, because, you know what I'm saying, if you want something, you got to go get it. You put that time in.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I got my promotion. You see what I'm saying? Man.
See, y'all got to realize this is how you get promoted. I'm giving y'all a game. Anyway, nah, man, for like, real, though. Like on the real, though. Like on the real. Bro, with like a dude, broke niggas is like a lifestyle. They got the energy to give girls the things that they claim that they looking for. Ryan, you don't have time to chase around a girl that's super needy. I don't have the time to chase around a girl that's super needy. I can't text you all day. I can't talk on the phone with you all day. I can't be there every time you need me. A broke nigga, he could be there. He could cook. He could cook all the food that you pay for. He can have a barbecue every weekend because he's not doing nothing. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So it's like the broke nigga energy. I understand why it went, but for my female friends that's financially good, I think that their biggest fear is basically being used and being basically having to take care of a man. You feel what I'm saying? Because I don't think no woman really wants to do that. That's just my opinion. Ryan, would you be okay being taken care of by a woman that made money? Could you live with yourself?
How much money are we talking?
Let's just say $700,000 a year, Ryan, and you don't got to work. Could you be okay sitting at the crib?
I mean, you know, they got house husbands and shit. You know, somebody got to keep the house clean and shit.
$750,000, Ryan. Wash she can some get a clothes, dude.
I mean, hey, shit. Somebody got to keep an eye on
so
that.
So I guess
bitch.
The answer is yeah. Sure so here, so here's it. The difference. So Tempest, like, okay. let me ask you, Tempest. Hold on,
just a serious question though. No, I said, well, let me just say this. It's yes and no. Honestly, I joked about that just now. That was just me being silly. But honestly, I would probably get bored because we've been in quarantine. You know what I'm saying? Like when the whole COVID shit just kicked off, when it first kicked off, we was like. Really stuck in the house for like 6 months straight. And during that time, bro, I almost lost it. I thought I was about to get cabin fever in here.
Yeah, bro.
Now, granted, maybe if I could have gotten out and been more, you know what I'm saying, mobile and moving around like I'm used to, it would have been okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just being locked in the house like that. And then on top of that, you know what I'm saying, my wife went back to work before me. So I was still at home. And she was going to work. I'm at home with the kid, just chilling.
Yeah, man.
And it drove me crazy.
We've talked about it countlessly on the show and personally, bro. I guess I'm kind of, y'all called me old fashioned and shit, bro. But I cannot not contribute and like be able to at least.
That's because you don't wash clothes.
That's true. I don't wash clothes, but I can't.
Because that's a contribution. That's a contribution in value, in itself, Ryan. Bro. You got the laundry. You take care of the food. Make sure dinner is
Ryan,
cooked.
Hold it down for the housewives out there, right?
You know what I'm saying? You clean up and shit. Oh, that boy, that is fucking contribution. Tell them, sis.
There's no price tag on what I do every day.
And then I got a couple of hours I can sit down and work on my Madden skills and shit.
And Chelsea, when is the last time you told him he was pretty? But
she don't appreciate me. Yeah. She does not
appreciate me. Man, yeah. But I mean, me personally, bro. Like, yeah, I don't do laundry and shit like that. I told y'all, like I'm old fashioned. But it's like, I really can't. I could, like, even if a girl was making $750, I'd be like, okay, well, look, I'm about to take you to IHOP. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to, you know, take you out. I'm going to take care of everything. That's just how I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't sit at the crib and be no goddamn house husband. Nah, that's not my style.
So, Casey, so, like, let's say, you know what I'm saying, every 2 weeks, your wife bring home $5,000 check. Yeah. You cool with coming in with your, you know, $1,200?
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Now we're 5,200.
Add this to the pile.
Hey, look, you remember what Eddie Murphy said? $1,500,070.
So that brings me to something else that's like that I talked about with somebody, one of my friends today. Why do people get so uncomfortable when a prenup comes up?
I'm gonna tell you why. Cause bitches be fronting. I'm not gonna lie, bitches be fronting. Hmm.
What if she the one that's making the money? Like, what if, like I just said, like you not okay. The breadwinner in the house, and your wife come to you, hey Casey, let's go ahead and do this prenup. You gonna be cool with it?
No, I'm not. Because that's the beauty of a prenup, right? That's the beauty of a prenup. The beauty of a prenup is we're not supposed to get a divorce.
You should get half for everything. You're not, but do you think if something was to happen, you're supposed to get half of the money?
Again, that's the beauty of a prenup. Why are we talking about our divorce even before we get married?
Well, I think sometimes too, you got to think about too, when you do a prenup, it's like, it can put a clause on other things. Cause say it's a family property or say it's something that is tied to the family and you don't want nobody to, you know, as a family that needs to stay there, whatever the case may be. It can go down to children, so on and so forth. But as soon as say, you know, you do get a divorce or something happens or, you know, wife passed away, now that property is no longer in the family, is given to you, and you don't want to do the same thing with it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes I think it makes
family
sense.
Family heirlooms and shit.
Bro, yeah. Do y'all really think that, like, I want to see, like, examples, because I've never heard of it be like, yeah, I'm getting half, so I want to take I want to take the shoes that his big mama gave him. I want to take the bra and shoes that his mama gave him. Like, I don't think that nobody really trying to get family heirlooms in court. Like, I don't give a shit about the motherfucking.
Well, if it's a, you got to think about it. What if it's a house? What if it's land?
I can tell you this right now. If I had it, my ex would have took it. If I had it, she would have took it. She took everything.
Hey, what the hell you want with a 1972 Buick Skylark that Ryan's great-granddaddy had?
I don't give a damn.
Whatever.
That's what I'm saying. But like, what if it's acreages of land? What if it's apartment complexes?
You thinking just never big, know. Tim. I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking like, because when you said heirlooms, I was thinking like your grandmama left you a jacket or, you know, her, you know, yeah. Okay, I feel you.
Nah, I'm talking about like,
it's scary. Like,
property.
It's scary.
Real estate.
But yeah, guys, think about when you guys walk down the aisle. Did that really cross your mind? And you know what? Let's get personal for a second. How many of y'all really do got prenups? Ryan, you got a prenup?
Probably when we got married, we didn't have shit.
So right. That's what I'm saying.
A prenup for what?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I think prenups is usually for people that come in to the marriage with stuff. Money.
Right. Yeah, I understand the issue. I understand the issues with a prenup, but I understand. Bitch, you know what? the shit is a little bit more balanced, and it's like, okay, I make 700,000. Okay, I get it. You know what I'm saying? Prenup, because I'm gonna take what I got, you take what I got. But if I'm 700,000 in, I'm a million in, and she's come with 24,000. Yeah, we need a prenup, because we, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna walk away with what we came in with.
Why? Okay, see, why?
I
know
you just said you didn't.
You're not thinking about divorce. When
I'm saying, instead, I'm talking about me. I don't got $1 million.
No,
so
yeah,
I'm going
me
off
too.
Of y'all point. I'm going off
I'm
of
talking
your point
about
being
you
like,
too.
Nigga, we broke any goddamn way. You see what I'm saying? But like, if I do understand,
so, but you think if okay, you come in with money, you think you
makes
need
sense
a prenup
when you got a lot of money? Fuck yeah.
Okay, got you. So if you come in, you know what I'm saying, you making 6 figures, and
yeah,
she working Taco Bell.
Now when I make 6 figures, I
because
see, even the Chick-fil-A comment,
prenups are for assets. You got assets before, so you have assets before.
Yeah, if I don't got shit, you don't got shit. Yeah.
To keep those
assets.
I agree.
Assets I don't separate. Got shit. You don't got shit.
Right. So
I got you. Okay, guys, that's beautiful. The content, but what I wanted to know was, like, I really don't have a problem with a person saying or a woman saying, if I'm a fuck you or I'm a fuck with you, I want you at least to have a place I could pay my to lay my head, or I want you to at least be able to feed me and court me or do something with me properly. Because I'm not gonna lie, man, in my job and all through my life, I talk to a lot of women, and it's like, damn, you giving a nigga the pussy and his, you waiting for his mama to go to sleep and you 33? Or I tell you what's wrong with that, man. Like, that's whack, right? That's whack. He 30.
But what if
there's no such thing, Ryan. You know goddamn well. Stop trying to hold the broke niggas down, Ryan. Stop it. My mama live with me.
It is a such thing. Let's say I brought my mama in to be, you know, a nanny.
Okay, right. That's the exception. Okay, that's the exception to the rule. 99, what I'm talking about is the nigga that live with his mama, not the nigga who take care of his mama. Okay? Shout out to everybody who take care of their mama.
Oh.
But what I'm saying is, nigga, if you at home with mama and you ain't never left, I'm talking broke nigga energy. I don't think women should give the pussy. I don't think women should give up the pussy to a nigga that can't at least, at the very least, put you in a warm bed and fucking be able to pick you up and be able to feed you.
So let me ask you this. Motel 6.
Hey, even the Motel 6, because Ryan, you know damn well we talk about this all the time. There's plenty of broke niggas out there that ain't even doing the 6. Let's go half on the 6.
That's true. That's true. I'm just saying, you know, back in the day, the Motel 6.
Bro, we'll leave the light on for you.
Don't worry about how I know that.
You mean to tell me, Ryan, like, if you got, like, you know, female friends, or one day you have a daughter, Ryan, or, like, your nieces and nephews and shit, and you giving them game, it's like the nigga couldn't take you to the 6 and get you some Wendy's? Like, he couldn't do that, and you fuck this nigga in the backseat of his mama car? No.
Now, granted, the 6 then went up on their prices.
He should at least, and I think that before niggas step out there and get women, I really do believe this, before y'all step out there and want to be players, y'all need to have y'all shit together. And women need to stop fucking with broke ass niggas, bro. Like, for real. I really believe that shit. And when I say broke, I'm not saying niggas that pay bills. I'm saying niggas that choose a lazy lifestyle that don't have no get up and get it. I'm talking about niggas that have nothing. Niggas that really, literally, I'm not talking about you paying your bills.
So yeah, let's define broke.
To me,
though. Let's define broke. Cause let's say I got a job, I got my own apartment, but I'm still living paycheck to paycheck, paying my bills and shit, but I ain't got
that's
no
not what
money
I'm talking
to take
about.
Your ass out.
I'm talking about.
But is that not considered broke?
See, y'all don't listen. Y'all don't look. Y'all don't live where I live. Y'all live in white people Africa. I live 15 minutes from Baltimore. It's real broke niggas, bro. I mean, that have nothing. that bro, nothing. That niggas is like, I'm completely content. My whole day is dedicated to getting me fucking $20 to find me a blunt to smoke for the day. Ride around, find a nigga to get high. In my old neighborhood, what? There was niggas from the moment they woke up to the time they get to bed, they trying to...
I get that, but like, if I still can't afford to take nobody out. We can't go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? My car in the shop.
Bro.
I can't go nowhere. Well, I ain't got no car. I got me this bus car. Listen,
at the end of the...
You know what I'm saying? I got my damn, my Metro Pass car.
Ryan.
I ain't got no fucking car.
You know what? I'm going to put myself out there, nigga, because I don't care. I've been on that level of broke before. If you could bring a bitch back to the crib and it's warm in there, you don't even need cable. You know your homeboy could open the box. You can sit a bitch down with a TV in a warm house and fuck her in a bed with a blanket
and
one pillow. And air, and even air, exactly, Tim, on an air mattress.
You got air mattress.
Bro, that's good.
As long as it's your place. Shit. But some chicks ain't going.
Well, fuck her. Fuck that bitch.
Let me tell you something, Case. I'm gonna put myself out there just because you did.
Thank you, brother.
You know, I don't want you to be out there alone. So, I've been broke like that before, where I had an apartment, and this is when my ex was taking everything. That's why I didn't have nothing. I had an apartment, and I was struggling to pay the rent. So I'm paying the rent. I can't afford to take these chicks out nowhere. So my slick ass try to play the Jedi mind trick and try to talk to these females and be like, girl, you can't cook, can you? And she's like, yes, I can. Man, I'll be cooking. Well, why don't you come by my house and cook something? And man, like, it got to be something simple now. I ain't got much. I got some chicken and I got some green beans. I had some glory greens. So you come on.
Hey, check it out, bitch. I got a. Hey, Ryan, I got a half pound of hamburger meat. Some spaghetti sauce and some fucking noodles. Not even real noodles. I got ramen noodles. Let's see what you can make work out of this. Know what I'm saying?
Going through some things.
Bro, I did have somebody.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. But see, that's, too. Bro, it's dudes out here literally. And I understand what some sisters are saying when they like, bro, this nigga's trying to 100% literally mooch off me. Because, bro, I see it. Ryan, you see it too, bro, where it's like, bro, I'm literally going from, hey, I'm trying to move in. Girls go through it all the time, bro. Like, you taking pictures on Facebook.
But see, which I don't understand is how does someone get that deep into a relationship or a situationship where somebody can have...
I agree, Tim, but it happens. Like, it happens because girls will say...
As a 30-plus... You know, because they had to meet some standard of yours in order for you to start getting mooch off.
2020 standards are low. Standards are super low right now.
But I
don't know about that, Casey. I got some info from a friend of mine. I asked her what are deal breakers from her. Boy, she gave me bars for like 10 minutes on a list of different things that are deal breakers from her. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, and honestly, it's sad. I hope she don't mind. I'm not going to say her name, but she's still single. So I'm like, is that why you're still single? Because you have such high standards,
Ryan, and
strict Ryan. Rules and things that you
I hope
want
your friend is
want.
Listening. I don't know her name. I don't know who she is. But I guarantee you the bitch lying. She's single because don't nobody want her. And also, listen, wait a minute.
A lot of times, they have standards.
And number two, those standards are bullshit. I guarantee you, there's niggas out there that go wipe all those standards out the door with a pretty smile and a big dick. All those standards are going to go out the window, and then she's going to sit up and sell to us how he's different, and he made me let my guard down.
know, like, bro. Not at, like, I can see that, like, if you, like, 25, 26-year-old, I think age matters a whole lot in those situations. Because when you get to a certain age, too, and that's when you start to see, like, you 30-plus and things like that, and you start living your life, and you got a career, and you got this, you got that. People tend to date in shorter times, and they get married quicker because it's like, okay, this is what I want. I already know what I want. So if you understand and you know what I want, this is what I'm, you know, this is what you bring it to the table. Cool, we can move forward.
Look, I'm gonna be honest with y'all. Best thing that ever happened to me, I got a divorce, and you know why? Because I learned so much from that first situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was cool. I mean, it sucked going through a divorce because the shit's expensive, but I'm happy I went through it because I learned more about myself and what I was willing to deal with and not willing to deal with, what I look for, what I don't look for, what I like, what I don't like. And I felt more comfortable with myself being able to express, hey, I ain't feeling that.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I'm not cool with that right there. We're not cool with that.
That's not my
thing. You know what I'm saying? And it even gave me time to look in the mirror at myself. And, like, look at things where I fucked up in my previous marriage. Like, you know what? Okay. I wasn't doing good in communication. Let me work on that. I need to be a better communicator. So that's why I say it was the best. I tell some of my friends all the time, like, look, you need to get a divorce. Listen, you're going to be so much better off.
Yeah, because Ryan, that's real talk, though.
What you got going on there? That's real talk. Y'all fighting all the time. Get a divorce. But your next wife? Shit, boy, listen.
Because listen, I'm going to say something else kind of real, bro. Like, when it comes to women, I understand you shouldn't want a gold, you shouldn't want a nigga that's broke. But at the same time, a gold digger, at the end of the day, here's the question, what's your price? Because if we really about this bread like you say you is, bitch, you go, if I got enough money, you going to go there. So it's basically like putting a price tag on yourself. Wouldn't y'all agree?
I think, like I said, I think it all boils back down to the growth and the maturity of the person and the age gap in the people. So if you have a certain age, you haven't lived and you haven't been through enough, then yeah, that could be it. But then you meet females that they know what they want and they're not going to let that number or anything be swayed by what they know that they want.
At the same time, to play devil's advocate, Tim, some women are done. Some women have given up on that fairy tale. I had a woman tell me that she'd been married twice and she said she's not going to marry for love again. She said, I'm never marrying for love again. She said the biggest mistake she made was marrying for love. She said, I'm not marrying for love again. She's marrying for stability. Now, can we get mad at that?
A problem though, because how can somebody else bring you stability? Like, if you're not stable within yourself, nobody else can bring you anything. She wasn't talking about
emotional stability. She was talking about financial.
No, stability. I mean financial, and, whatever. And Tempest,
we both know that's possible.
Yeah, but if I can't provide that for myself, I can't expect somebody else to provide that for me.
If a nigga make enough money, it is possible for him to make you financially stable. Yeah, it's true. He if you look around and be like, I ain't worried about no bills.
But once you've been married twice, you should be looking in within self to get yourself financially stable and figure out how the fuck that you're stable, that you don't need anybody else to make you stable, that you're not looking for a man to help you. But Tim, that's you. I'm telling you.
Like, the thought makes sense. Even though I agree with Tim, I don't agree with her. Well, I'm done with this love shit, nigga. Like, because, bro, listen.
Been married more than one time.
It's you.
Well, okay, let me put it like this. If you have been divorced more than one time, at what point do you look in the mirror and I'm like, you know what?
True.
It's me.
But you got to also say,
I fucked up.
Nigga, I'm not marrying for love no more. Like, if you marry for love, those are when all of those fucking little bullshit-ass mistakes.
Why would I say that?
like, no, because like that's the thing. Because if somebody truly loves you, they're gonna speak life into you. They're gonna want to see you grow. They're gonna do all those things. So those things are like that's the thing. If somebody truly loves you, they'll speak life into you. You'll see growth within yourself. You'll start becoming a better person because that person does love and truly care for you. Now, it's different being with people in a relationship that don't know how to love, which they may love you, but just don't know how to express that or know how to show you those things. So it's two different things.
You know, I read a book that kind of helped with that. That Love Languages book, man, what book? I'm telling you, that book was amazing. You read that book because sometimes you're loving somebody.
The way to what, Ryan?
Huh?
You said you loving somebody the way that what?
The way that you love, you know what I'm saying? Instead of loving right. them or learning how they receive it. You know what I'm saying? You might be, hey, I'm the type of person that I need physical touch. So right. you might go up to this person and be like touchy-feely, hugging, but that's not them. That's not how they receive love. They're more of words of affirmation. They prefer for you to tell them, hey, you look good today. Hey, you know what I'm saying? I like that hat you got on. Hey, you know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
you did good cooking today, whatever, whatever. So that book helped me realize that because it's like, damn, you know what? I think that could help a lot of people. It helped me because I look at it like, damn, okay, I was fucking that up. I'm sitting here wondering why the hell you're not receiving this. It's because I'm giving you what I want.
Right.
Instead exactly. of learning what you want.
That's real rap. But back to marrying for love opposed to marrying for financial stability, I could understand it. Because let me give y'all the prime example. Let's say Ryan, Tempest, Casey, let's say all of us are super duper breadwinners, six figures, $700 million a year, we millionaires. Okay, we meet a girl, we vibing out. Shit, she like Prince. Nigga, she fucking like boxing. Nigga, like, she's my best friend, like everything. Like, nigga, everything just clicks. She can cook like my grandmama. She can cook like my mama. She makes spaghetti like my sister. You know what I'm saying? She's my dream woman, right? And I marry her for love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a couple years later, it's like, yeah, fat nigga, I'm out of here. And I'm taking half your money. Why should I? Wouldn't that kind of make you be like, all right, fuck this shit. I'm never marrying a broke bitch again.
No, because marriage is mutual. So you loved her. She didn't love you. So it's two different things. Like,
but Temp, love is a four-letter word.
But to add to that, Casey,
I'm telling y'all, it's easy to convince a person you love them, though. It's not hard.
No, but Casey, to add to that, you cannot blame somebody else because one other person fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't be mad at Temp because you did something fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know what? I ain't never gonna have no more friends because Casey, he was on that bullshit.
Yep.
I will never trust another nigga to be my friend because Casey was on that bullshit.
Right. No. But I'm just saying, marriage is different. Marriage is different. Marriages are different than bullshit, man. You're supposed to learn lessons. Marriage is different than friendship. You're supposed to learn lessons. That's what prenups are for.
In relationships, regardless if that is a marriage or friendship, you learn right. lessons but, in friendship. In
right, but okay. Okay.
So again, Casey, I put myself out there again because I don't mind. So after my first situation, I went through a spell where I'm like, I don't trust these bitches no more. Fuck them. I'm just gonna do me. I will never trust another female. And I went and got tattoos on the back of my arms, love and trust, because I felt like that was shit I never wanted to see again because I didn't have it. You know what I'm saying? So
that's why I was on the back
of my arms, so I can't see it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going through life and I'm just going around meeting different women. Like, yeah, I'm never gonna trust you. And then I met my motherfucking wife and I looked at her and we talked for like the first time I met her, we just talked for like a couple hours.
Damn, that was a dumbass tattoo.
I was like, damn, I get these tattoos on my arm. And you know what's crazy? So like when we first met, we had been kicking it for a little bit, right? I don't even think we had started dating or nothing yet. She asked me, why you got them tattoos on the back of your arms? And I got to explain this to her. Like, well, at the time, you know, I felt like that was something I didn't have in my life. And I didn't think I would ever have it again. And so I never wanted to see it. So I put it behind me. All the love and trust was behind me.
Right.
Shit didn't change now. Because I met somebody worth all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Right, Ryan. But would you now, not to pry, but Ryan, when you look at your first situation and made you get the tattoos and then you met somebody special, how much of the L of the first situation do you put on yourself and say, shit, I was marrying you for the wrong reason?
So the first situation, what I would say is, I wouldn't say it was for the wrong reasons. I would say I was young. I was young and didn't know no better.
Which is the wrong reason to get married.
Well, okay, sure, if you want to go there. But what I used it as a tool, it was a learning lesson. I learned from that whole situation. I learned so much. Every time I look back on it, I'm happy. That's why I say I'm happy I went through the best thing that ever happened to me. Because I learned so much about marriage, about relationships, about trust, about communication, about myself. I learned. And I'm able to use all of that.
Ryan, say that one more time. Ryan, say that one more time. Say that one more time.
Which part?
The end, when you said I learned so much about blank. Say that one more time.
Oh, I learned so much about myself that I'm able to give my wife a better version of me.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. I'm all about marrying for love, man. It's just you know, we gotta try to look at as many different perspectives as we can. You know what I'm saying? I could understand a person saying, okay, well, look, at the end of the day, marrying for love could put you in a lot of stupid situations. I agree with marrying with love for love, but love can get you fucked up in the game of fucking dating and in the game of marriage. Love can get you fucked up. Because love is not logical. Love don't make sense.
Right. But we can't be afraid of failure.
That's
so
true.
That's the big thing is that.
But Tempest, I know I'm sure you know girls, right?
Like, you sometimes you got to step out.
Absolutely. But Tempest, Ryan, I'm sure we both know people that love a nigga that's pounding upside their motherfucking head. You love a nigga that's fucking everything with a pussy. You love a nigga that's broke. You love a female that's a hoe. You ever loved a hoe before? It's fucking gut wrenching.
I don't think I've ever.
I have loved a hoe before, nigga. I have loved a whore. That shit is terrible.
Did you love her? Or did you love what she could do for you?
Was it love or lust?
I loved her outside of the bedroom. Well, I thought, good point, Ryan. I thought I loved her.
Okay.
I thought I did.
You thought you loved her.
But yeah, now, you know, when you get older, you know what real love is. But I thought I loved her at the time. But it's like, bro, heartbreaking. People love people, but love will get you fucked up out here. And it's like, yo, love has nothing to do with money. Love has nothing to do with sex. Love has nothing to do with anything physical. Love is love, yo. True love, I believe in God. True love is the way God loves us, which is unconditional. That's love. Absolutely. Love has nothing to do with anything else, right? So if you like, all the other stuff is just icing on the cake. But love will get you fucked up. Because you can love somebody that's flawed. You could love an ugly person.
Right.
You could love a broke person. You could love a fucking, you could love a fucked up person. You could love a drug addict. You could love all kinds of people. Love will get you fucked up. And I understand people who don't want to be put in that situation again.
You're right.
You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying?
But that's part of, to me, that is part of the learning process. Mm-hmm. That's where I learn, because I don't want to be in this situation again. It's not about love. It's about, okay, this is where things went south. This is what I did wrong. So let me first look in the mirror at me. This is where I fucked up. I didn't do this. Okay, now, this is what I allowed to happen to me during this time.
Right.
So let me correct that as well.
Absolutely.
You got to learn from everything.
Got to learn. So at the end of the day, guys, we understand all y'all perspectives, but I guess the conclusion of today's show is like, love is love, man. Love who you love, bro. And we understand all situations, but at the end of the day, there is no price tag on love, man. If you love who you love, whether it's somebody broke, whether it's money. And so next, guys, we're going to wrap it up as far as this topic goes. And we're going to bring it to our Q&A portion. We will be back in a few seconds. Peace out.
Okay.
Everybody, great show. A lot of great feedback, man. I feel good about it, man. We got one in the bucket. So right now, we're going to start off with our Q&A portion because, you know, we relationship experts out here in these streets. So we're going to slap it over to first. We're going to go with let's see here. We're going to go with Ra-Ra from Baltimore. Shout out to Ra-Ra, my homegirl at my job. You know what I'm saying? She listens to the show. She's a big fan of all of us. So much love to her. So her question, first, I'm going to roll it to Tempest first. Then we're going to go to Ryan and get their views on it. Her question is, in a relationship, in order for you to be a man's everything, does that mean that you have to be his slave?
Tempest? No.
Ryan, what do you think?
Well, you know, break this down like Negro Domus.
Break it down, baby.
First of all, let's define how the term slave. What do you really think the term slave means? And I mean, so to be his everything, do you feel like you are a slave? Because I think slavery could be a mentality to the woman at this day and age.
Mm. Hey, Ryan, so let me tell you some real shit. You beat me to it. I agree. And if you want to look at slave, you're going to say servant. Because a slave is just a servant that works for free.
That's it.
So at the end of the day, if you're going to be my everything, yeah, you're going to be my slave. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to, in order to be my everything, you're going to have to be my slave, and you're going to have to be my queen, and you're going to have to be my best friend, and you're going to have to be my cook. You got to be my lover. Exactly. You got to be my whore. You got to be my porn star. You got to be my slut. You have to be my friend. You got to be everything.
You cut Negro Diamonds off. You didn't even let him finish.
I'm sorry, Negro Diamonds.
The thing is, if you're going to be my everything, well, maybe slave is included. You got to be my chef, my porn star, my queen, my friend, my slave, all of that. If you're going to be my everything.
If you're going to be my everything. Tim, what you think? You quiet over there, Tim. What you think?
I think y'all smoking crack. yeah. That's what I think.
Hey, man.
I think they're high off coke or something. I think... That is not what that means, to be someone's everything.
How can you be somebody's everything and not their slave? Is that everything?
No.
That's part of it. That's part of it. You're going to be my servant.
So
get your ass in there and make a nigga a sandwich.
So are you going, in turn, y'all going to be the slave as well?
Absolutely. My wife asked me for something. You got it. We could be in the goddamn bed, sleep. She might wake me up. Hey, can you go make me some cookies? Cool, shit, fuck, whatever. All right.
As long as it goes both ways.
I kiss the bottom of my wife's feet. I worship her. she is my, I am her slave whenever she want me to be her slave. She can beat me too.
Hmm.
Yeah, we don't want to take it there. She can beat me.
Yeah. What's the next question?
All right. The next question, guys, is from a couple. I love these guys, Lauren and Larry. They're a married couple. They actually gave us like 3-4 questions, but y'all covered some of their questions in the show today. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Lauren. Shout out to Larry. So we're going to go to question number 3. Okay. And they said, and I'm going to go to Ryan first on this one. They said, is cheating more tolerable when a man has more money? If you want to flip it around to a woman, is it more tolerable when she has more money?
Yeah, I feel like you got to flip it both ways just to get a better look at this. At that point, that's where the gold digging comes in. Because maybe you will tolerate it because he's giving you money. And then at that point, maybe you're not really with him because of him. You're with him because of what he can provide for you.
Okay. 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 All right. Tempest? Does more money make the cheating more tolerable when he has more money?
Negative.
So you don't give a fuck how much money you got.
Right. At that point, if we doing all that, we shouldn't be together. It's too much. Why are we even wasting?
So you walking away from $3 million because he stepped out.
Yeah.
With no prenup.
Why would I tolerate that?
I mean, you going back to the hood, Tim. You don't got nowhere to go. Cause he just wanted to get him a little on the side. You walking away?
Moonwalking.
I'm just saying, so like, let's say goddamn Rick Gonzalez decided to step out on you. Primo. We gotta call him Primo because you don't know the boy's real name. So Rick Gonzalez, y'all been together for years.
Hold on, who the fuck is Rick Gonzalez?
you ever seen Biker Boys or
Timber's guy? Okay, Timber's guy. I got you. I didn't know his name. Okay, Timber's guy. Timber's think you cute.
So
okay.
His government is Rick Gonzalez.
Okay, I didn't know. My bad. That's Tim. That's Tim.
Anyway, y'all been together for years. You ain't working. You just got the kids and everything. And he go do a movie and smash the goddamn co-star. You leaving?
Gone.
Tempest Williams, you are full of shit. You're not going nowhere.
She said, gone.
Tempest, you are full of caca. You are not going nowhere.
First off, that is disrespectful. So if you don't respect me enough not to keep your wang in your pants, then we have a problem. So if you can't respect me enough, I don't think we should be together.
Holly Berry literally can go get DP'd by 2 homeless niggas in an alley. And I will ask what I did wrong.
That's you. See?
Is it me?
Not me.
Holly, I only have 1 penis. If you want to get DP'd, I can call Ryan over. We can DP. All right, guys. Another question from Ryan.
Wait, Casey. Let me ask you this. Like, I think me personally, I think Erica Badu would get a pass. I wouldn't even question it.
Erica don't gotta take a shower. Ever.
If Erica can come home and tell me, she can come home and tell me, yeah, I just got fucked by 2 guys. Like, okay, honey, what do you want for dinner?
Exactly. Yeah. Honey, you're silly. Listen, I'm going to go in the kitchen and start your meal and make your bed and make sure your bath water is hot. I'm going to have a thermometer checking the temperature of her tub, making sure it's at the temperature that she likes.
But Casey, let me ask you this, though. If Erica come home and tell you she just got fucked by 2 guys, are you going to eat the pussy before she shower?
Yep.
That's rough. Hey Ryan, if she wants to, if she wants it right now, I'm gonna say, damn it, Erica, can't you take a shower first? And she'd be like, no, I can't. I'd be like,
no,
whatever.
I want it now, Casey. Right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Come here, give it to me. Did he have on a flavor condom? This tastes like grape. It tastes like grape flavor. Okay.
Oh, no, baby. That was wrong.
Well, this nigga has a tasty penis. No homo. All right. Now.
Okay, yeah, let's wrap it up.
No, hold on. We got one more question. Okay. Can a relationship, this is a good one, can a relationship survive unequal promotions as one person progresses more than the other, or one person doesn't progress at all? So basically, if one person, you guys started the same level, but one person is kind of leveling up in their career and the other person is staying kind of stagnant, you think a relationship, do you guys think a relationship can survive that? We gonna go to Ryan first.
Man, I'm so glad you came to me first. Because you know what?
I think you're trying to play.
Once again, I'll put myself out there.
You're trying to play.
You know what? It's cool. I don't mind.
He came for you, dog.
Because look, I feel like this question was directed towards me, which is cool.
I feel like you're
trying to play. So listen.
Nigga, this is a random question from two random people that don't even know y'all.
Listen. Let me just go ahead on and just put myself out there and say yes. When I met my wife... I'm going to tell you, we are in the military, right? So it's a rank structure. The more rank you get, the more money you get. I met my wife. I was a motherfucking E5. She was a E3. Today, I've been with her since, I don't know, it's been some years now. It's been a while. Today, she is a E6. I am an E5.
Okay.
So, as you can see, she has progressed and surpassed me, and I'm still in the same fucking spot. And we're doing great.
Timmons, why are you laughing?
He's funny.
Ryan, hold on. Timmons, why are you laughing?
Because he's
buddy. This is my life.
Okay. Tempest, same question.
Yeah. We're in the military, so it's a little different. Life is a little different. Promotions work a little different. So, yeah.
So, your answer is, both of y'all answer from a military perspective is yes, it can work.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you come home and you be like, this is what I am. Like, nobody cares.
Right.
And you know, okay, Casey, so to even be like, to think about it from a non-military perspective, I'm not a hater. So if we together and my wife is progressing, I'm her biggest fucking cheerleader. Like, yo, keep going. Let's go. Let's get it. Because we married.
Okay. So
shit, your money is right. My money. So, my money is your money. You go out here, you making more money. That's more money for the family, more money for the house. So now we are doing good as a unit.
I feel you. Now, Ryan, Tempest, feel free to say no comment if y'all want to, because we don't want you guys getting beat when you get off the air. Do attitudes change with more money?
No.
Let me tell you something.
Ryan, feel free to say no comment if you want to.
Oh, I'm not even gonna comment on this, you know. I'm not gonna say nothing. But I will say this. My wife, no, I don't think her attitude changed. She might get a little more ammo, but her attitude won't change. She's still the same person.
Okay.
Now, she get a little bit more money, she might have a little more ammunition. But overall, and this is the sad part about the military, right? So speaking from my personal life, the sad part about the military is I've been in so fucking long, we still almost make the same amount of money.
Okay.
Even though she outranked me, because I've been in longer.
Okay. So Tempest,
she might make like $100, $200 more.
Okay, so Tempest, what do you feel like, you know, your husband's attitude would change, or your attitude would change the more money or the less money that you made? Is it more woman gonna make me a sandwich if you make more money? Or is it more like, hey nigga, fuck you, you know what I'm saying, if you make more money? Does y'all ranks or your promotions change?
We talking personal life?
Yeah, the dynamic of your household.
Temp ain't making no motherfucking sandwiches.
I made you a sandwich, remember?
You know, I take that back. I'm lying. Like, shit, Tim made me a sandwich one time. And that shit was
you crazy. Made Ryan a sandwich?
She did. I was over this bitch hungry. She like, well, no, she was making a sandwich. I just came through and picked the shit up.
Wow. So listen, but I'm saying, like, so does it change the dynamic in y'all household, Tempest? Do you think that it would, like, if I don't know what y'all ranks are, I don't know the military shit, but I know, like, do you feel like that?
Oh, they make more than me. They both make more than
right.
me.
So do you feel like, Ryan, I don't know, I mean,
just throw that out
right.
there.
So Tempest, do you feel like that?
And you know what else? I've been in longer than them too.
Shit. So do you feel like
and look, they,
Ryan, calm down. Okay, and another motherfucking thing. Like, calm down.
Nah, like it was different. It's different for us because we kind of like we grew up together pretty much. So like we became adults together.
So no matter what, y'all dynamics y'all, don't change no matter shit, where the money or whatever's right. coming from. Okay. All right. So
yeah, so I've been in the military well, how long? Like I've been in the military for 14 years and I've been with him for like 13 years. So you know, it's
y'all grew together,
it ain't
right.
really like we just kind of you know went up everything together. We you know bought our first house together, got our first apartment together, all that type of stuff. So it ain't really no. It is what
okay.
it is.
Okay, and just kind of to put a bow tie on everything, my nigga, I'm not in the military. I'm a civilian. Let me tell you something. I consider my wife the nicest person, like, literally, I've ever met. Like, she's a nice person. Like, she's a good person. She's good to me, right? But, nigga, if she coming home and the money's long and my money not, it's going to last maybe 3 months before it's going to be like, all right, my nigga, what you about to do?
She going to put you out, bro?
You know what I'm saying? I never saw how far I could push you, but there was a time, nigga, where I wasn't working. And Tierra was like making her money was knee along. And nigga, she was still treating me like I was the king, nigga. She was still feeding me and taking care of all the bills. And nigga, I mean, and nigga, I'm a big nigga. So it's double cheeseburgers, nigga. It's extra cheese. It's extra meat. Mm-hmm. Nigga, let me get some nuggets on top of the combo meal. Like it was.
Casey, you ain't had no money. And you was asking,
bro, with that. Nothing.
How would you?
And, bro,
nah, bro, you better take this regular cheeseburger and be happy.
And Ryan, and my baby, and my wife was like, "Okay, babe, I got you. Okay, you want vegan? You want vegetarian? You want shit different? Okay, cool. You want wings with the pizza? Okay, cool." But after 2 months, she sat down at me. She came down to motherfucking stuff because I was in the basement just being depressed and whack. And she came downstairs, mm-hmm. nigga, and looked across at me. She said, okay, babe, now what you about to do? That's enough. I'm tapping out. That's what you about to do, babe. You need to get your shit together. And I'm like, cool. So did the dynamic change with Tierra? No. You know what I'm saying? No, it didn't change. I was still the king. But with Tierra, when girls feel like, nigga, I don't need you, I can't just speak for myself. I got to speak for all people. And I have to show empathy. Bro, a girl make more money than you, nigga. You can't talk crazy. Their tolerance goes down. And Tempest and Ryan.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Tempest
that,
and Ryan
in
are in the military. They are in. Tempest is very, her relationship, her marriage. I look at their marriage. We're all really friends. And their situations to me are very special. You know what I'm saying? Because we all are in long-term relationships. Like, and we black and we young and we made it. So it's very, we're in the minority. So I will say for the overwhelming majority, we advise the mass of the people. I will tell you that most of the time, nigga, if a girl is going to work every day and she make more money than you, nigga, you need to shut the fuck up. If you a broke nigga and you got the broke nigga lifestyle, you need to be eating pussy, laying good pipe, and having a barbecue twice a week. Even in the wintertime, you need to be out there on the grill with snow on the ground making burgers. Nigga, you know what I'm saying? Because she not gonna do this shit if she make more than you.
I got a question.
Hence the Lemonade album. That's, you know, Beyonce with the Lemonade album. Nigga, shut the fuck up.
I got a question. So how is the dynamic with your promotion?
Oh, now that I'm getting the bread? Yeah. Let me think. Right now, you always got to look back because I'm just a thoughtful person. So I got to think back to the times where I was fucked up and Tierra held me down.
You know what I'm saying? So you ain't in there talking shit.
No, man. Not to my baby. But if she was a different kind of bitch, like if my wife was a different type of woman, that it was like that meant something to her, then I guarantee you it would mean something to me. If I was broke, I was a whole bunch of broke ass niggas and nigga, get your fat ass, your broke ass. If she was like that, then once I got my promotion, nigga, hey, bitch, what? Bitch, I don't need you. It would have been different.
You'd be talking shit then. Yeah.
But now that I know that that shit didn't mean nothing, because Tierra literally held me down and I had nothing. So it's like, I would never carry her like that, me personally. But for the rest of you motherfuckers out in the world, yeah, nigga.
So look, I got a question from one of my friends.
Okay.
Or one of our listeners, I would say.
Name and where they from.
This is from Tiffany. She's from Baltimore. She said, where the hell y'all been the last year?
Okay, Tiffany, let me answer this by myself, because you know me, Ryan, and Tempest, our favorite word is accountability.
If I was on that note, you know.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap this show up.
Okay, Tiffany, listen, from the heart. Tempest and Ryan, for at least the first 7 months, and was on my ass about getting a podcast back going. They even shot a commercial on our Instagram page. We made t-shirts.
I got the shirt on. Yeah,
we made t-shirts. Ryan and Tempest did what they were supposed to do. I took on a lot of responsibility for the show, volunteered it, and a lot of the shit that I was trying to go through, I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know. I was trying to make the show sound better. I was trying to make everything better. I was trying to add a bunch of shit. So I took on a lot of responsibility that didn't, you know, kind of go through. So, and then on top of that, a lot of shit happened. You know, Ryan is married. His wife was pregnant. I didn't want to fucking go and fucking impose.
Wow.
Yeah. Ryan, that's not your fault though. I'm not saying that Ryan was like, my wife is pregnant, nigga, leave me alone. I'm saying I didn't want to impose. I didn't want to be like, yeah, nigga, I know your wife needs you, but yeah, nigga, time for the podcast. I didn't want to impose. And I didn't talk to him about that till literally live right now. I didn't want to impose. Tempest motherfucking ass, she funny acting. She hasta ditty. She really don't fuck with niggas like talking about. So it's like, you don't know when you could talk to Tempest, because you could text Tempest and she really will ignore you to your face. So Tempest don't really like me. So it's like, I'm playing those jokes. But it's like, it's all my fault. And it's like, I was bullshitting. And it was like, we tried a couple of times. I downloaded a new streaming service. I was trying to get our sound better. I got a whole bunch of new equipment. And it took me a while to figure it out, because I'm not as tech savvy as some other people. So that's why it took so long. And then after a while, after a few months, you know, it just kind of like life went on. So that's what the fuck took us so long. It's all on Casey Kello. It has nothing to do with Ryan or Tempest. It's Casey's fault. You know what I'm saying? So they wanted to keep the show going. It's on me. So I'm sorry, but you know what, goddamn it, I'm not going to dwell on the past too much, because we back. Spaceships don't come equipped with rearview mirrors, as the urban philosopher Andre 3000 once said. We don't look back, we moving forward. Amen. All right, now Tempest, you got any questions from any of your audience members?
Nah, let's just, you know, I got one for you next week.
Oh, okay, I'm going to hold you to that. Guys, Ryan and Case No Chase with a Turley Tim Twist Man, Casey Kello, Ryan Lee, Tempest motherfucking Williams. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all for holding y'all down. My cousin Shannon, my nigga, I love you forever, my nigga. Like, you held me down. You asked about this shit damn near at least once or twice a month. My nigga Michael Wright, you know what I'm saying? My homegirl Lauren, I love you. You know what I'm saying? My wife, my son, you know what I'm saying? My kids, my family members, everybody who's been asking me about the show. Goddamn shout out to Champ, Jamal Champion, nigga. Straight up, you know what I'm saying? You've been asking about the show. We back, my nigga. We love everybody who supported us and everybody who been asking about the show or whatever, and everybody who continues to support us. For real, it's Casey's fault. I love y'all. Ryan and Temp, they love y'all too.
all that nigga for.
And we'll be back next time on the Ryan Case, No Chase, with a Shirley Tim Twist podcast. Peace out.